It's about 10:45 on this second Sunday after Christmas. Do you know where your wise men are? If you set out wise men with the Tiffany scene this year, where are they today? Perhaps they've been carefully packed away. Perhaps they are standing vigil around or close to the crowd. Perhaps they're still on their way and they're placed a little distant yet from the birth scene. Since this is the Feast of Epiphany, and since the Feast of Epiphany is still to come, January 6th, this coming Wednesday, do you know where your wise men are? There's a funny cartoon that's been circulating on social media, and maybe you have seen it. It looks like the three wise men are in line at Trader Joe's, with duct tape measuring the appropriate social distance, each one in their space, waiting to move forward, gift in hand. When I saw it, I could not help but give one of those poignant, bittersweet chuckles that are so common for me these days. My wise men and their one camel, they do have to share that camel, they are on an entryway bookshelf, one shelf above the rest of the crew. Mary, Joseph, shepherds, a sheep or so, a lamb, baby Jesus, an angel, and of course, the star. As I let sermon thoughts meander through my head and through my heart these past days, I came to the conclusion Thursday that everyone, but especially the wise men with their gifts and the star, they might need to stay out a little while longer this year, indefinitely perhaps, at least until Lent. I heard that word indefinitely used frequently this past week. It may just become a common phrase for us in the days ahead as we continue to move into that unknown future of this virus that has so powerfully taken hold. On the other hand, did you get to see the lineup of Jupiter and Saturn in the western sky Christmas Eve? Many friends and others on social media, they saw that conjunction as a sign of hope, of good things to come for our unknown future. Matthew's wise men, they started their journey not knowing many things, but drawn, pulled evidently by a similar sight up in the sky, a sign of something new breaking forth, a new ruler perhaps, as some of the other wise people of their day predicted. Their journey was not like my planning a journey to California to go visit my grandkids, but a tad more like our old family camping trips of yore, when we ventured into Bureau of Land Management forests with just a general idea of where we might camp, heading south from Winslow, had to go south, you actually went up and into the forest, drawn by the promise, not of a star, but by a good catch of juniper wood for the coming winter. The wise men had to have been important to Matthew. He's the only gospel that includes their mention. Their story follows immediately after the story of the angel appearing to Joseph, speaking to Joseph in chapter 1. That chapter ends with these words. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her, meaning Mary, of course, as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus, just as the angel had asked. In the Gospel of Matthew, there is no mention of a census, no mention of a journey for Mary and Joseph, no mention of there being no room at the inn, shepherds, etc., etc., etc. There's just the story of journeying wise men following a star, bringing gifts. A story wrapped in the trickery and treachery of King Herod, which they thwart. They leave their gifts and they return home another way after being warned in a dream again by an angel. That telling takes 12 verses. And then Mary and Joseph are on their way to safety in Egypt, and we're on to the rest of the story. So what's going on here? My new Oxford annotated Bible says, The visit highlights the conflict between the kings of Israel, chosen by God, Jesus, between the king of Israel, chosen by God, Jesus, and the king of Israel, chosen by the Romans, Herod. And well, yes, I can agree with that. But if that's all the story was for Matthew and the earlier followers of Jesus, a kind of dry political, theological contrast, wow, has it not grown and blossomed and borne the fruit of so much more than that? This strange tableau of kings and camels kneeling before a baby in a stable has for centuries been caught up in the imagination of people all over the world, kept alive and wonderfully embellished with imagined details, long-lasting myths and songs, operas, symphonies, paintings, drawings, church pageants. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse so far. How many Christmas pageants have you watched, helped prepare, been part of over the years? Was there ever one without the entrance of the three wise men? In our strange time of unknowing, we're given this living, bursting at the seams, pregnant story of journey into the unknown, following a star, a beckoning towards hope, something new, not without the world's trickery, arrogance, danger, and death even. We must not forget Herod's killing of all the children around Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. But pregnant with the hope of Emmanuel, God is with us. Dare I say, we are all on a journey into the unknown. We journey toward death, pulled by forces way beyond our control. And of course, this blasted indefinite time of COVID just holds that right in front of us, doesn't it? I think that's why I'm being pulled into this idea of not putting my wise men away indefinitely, perhaps even until Lent, and maybe after, who knows? I believe this is a time to find God with us in the story of the wise men. And so many questions swirl in my head. Where are my wise men right now? Are they maybe not physically, but spiritually, you know, already put away in that closet? Are they still on their way? Are they perhaps already headed home, having left my gifts? And what are the gifts they might have left? Maybe it's just one, or even more than that. What might I want to do with those gifts? And what might God want me to do with them? There is a difference sometimes, you know? Might I need to look for King Herod? Pay attention to those forces of darkness and evil that want to thwart God's will. And those are the questions just for right now. What about the past? Who have been the wise men and the wise women in my life? What gifts have they brought? Have I used them well? Have I put them on the shelf and forgotten them? Have I re-gifted them? Am I grateful for them? What began this whole train of thought around wise men in our lives is an old sermon from the past. From back in 1994, I'd just been ordained a couple of years, and it referenced a 10-year-old memory, which that takes us back to 1984. I was 37 years old, living in Winslow, Arizona, northern Arizona, in the high desert, active in the Episcopal Church there, and in that spread-out deanery. The memory is of a person, a wise woman, Dr. Verner Dozier. I looked her up on Google, and she died in 2008 and stayed busy and important to us all of those years. She was a highly respected lay leader, author, theologian, willing to come to those isolated small places of ministry. She was in our church. In our church, she especially flourished when educating and encouraging people to live out their call to ministry as the sons and daughters of God in the world. She was so very, very important to my journey. She's one of the wise that have come to me over the years and laid at my feet gifts of inspiration, hope, courage, passion, trust in our Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. I'm blessed to have a long list of such gifts from God, and more than likely you are also. You too can take the time to think, reflect, consider. Not just today, but indefinitely. Who are the wise men that have come to you? Who are the wise men, the wise women in your life today? When I first tumbled to a sermon title for today, I shared it out loud with my friend Jay, and he would be the first to tell you that he's not religious. He certainly knows the story of the wise men. And his best experiences of church were as a teenager, being part of a paid choir of a large Presbyterian church in a wealthy Los Angeles community. So when I asked him playfully, "Do you know where your wise men are?" he immediately answered, "Oh yeah, sure. Doug, he's in Pleasanton. And Gil, he's up in Marin. And then there's Angie, she's way out in Washington, D.C. You know, he got it. Those people bring him gifts, not only of their wisdom gleaned from lives well lived, but also they bring him the gifts of acceptance and of truth-telling and of laughter. The gifts of God, inspiration, hope, courage, passion, trust, to name just a few, are laid at our feet by people God has made present in our journeys. But as we have also seen in the morphing of Matthew's simple story, in poetry, music, art, nature, a myriad of sources. God is with us. And most profoundly, God is with us as Jesus, that flesh and blood baby born of Mary and Joseph, worshipped by shepherds and wise men. And for that, I am so grateful. And in turn, we are God's. As so eloquently proclaimed by Paul in his letter to the Christians in Ephesus, Paul wrote to those people in Ephesus, "God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. He chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ." We have heard these words many times, and I think sometimes they just slide right past us. But the Christians in Ephesus, they were hearing them for the first time. They're being moved to a way, new way of living. They were following a pull and a tug that they probably couldn't even identify yet. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. He chose us in Christ. He destined us for adoption. So that with the eyes of your heart, Paul tells us, enlightened by those gifts of wisdom and revelation, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. You may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Which brings us to our final ponderings. How is God calling you and I into the future? What light shines for us, tugs at us, pulls us on the way as we journey into the unknown, accompanied always by our God? Jesus was blessed by wise men bringing him gifts as he began his journey in the world. The wise men were blessed by their journey of searching and finding and being in Jesus' presence. The world has been and continues to be blessed by Matthew's telling of this wondrously strange story. May we now be open to receive God's blessings in this indefinite time of uncertainty. And may we not rush to put away our wise men. Amen.